tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll start talking a little bit. Lord, Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your grace, Lord. I thank you for all the many blessings that you've given us. And Father, I thank you for your salvation, Lord God, that you came to seek that which was lost. You came, Father, to make a way where there was no way. You came and paved a way for sinful man to reach a holy God. And Father, I thank you for that. Lord, I know that your arm's not so short that it cannot save. So we're praying even tonight, Lord, that you would stretch your arm out. Father, that we could see the mighty hand of a God who loves us, a God who cares, a God who desires righteousness in our life. And Father, help us to seek that. Help us to seek your righteousness. Help us to find you while you're able to be found. And Lord, we thank you for that. We come even now, and I pray that the folks that are here tonight, Lord Jesus, that you are speaking to them, that their ears would be open to hear what the Spirit of God has to say, and that our lives, our hearts would be willing to obey what you say. And Father, that we would be a people desiring to honor you in everything we say and do. And Father, we rest in that. We thank you for it, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Last week we talked about the Battle of Jericho, amen, how that was just an unearthly way to do a fight, right? That's just not something that's normal. That ain't the way that's not the way Napoleon ever fought. That ain't the way MacArthur ever fought. That's not a way that you would ever see a battle won. You know, when the Lord says, I want you to go over to a big old city that has huge walls around it, not just one walls, but two walls and terrace in between it. And I want you to march around it for so many days. I want you to march around it on the seventh day seven times. And at the end of the seventh time, I want the trumpeters to trumpet. I want them to trumpet, and then I want you to give a mighty shout. And when you give a mighty shout, the walls will fall down. Well, praise God. God doesn't do things in ordinary ways. But sometimes when we see God moving, we think that we can do some stuff on our own. And that's what we found out in the very next chapter. The very next town that Joshua was coming to was a little bitty old town. So the first one, if you can imagine it, was about the size of Rochester. Pretty big city, and it had a lot of people in it, tens of thousands of folks that were in there. And then they come up on this itty-bitty old tiny town by the name of Ai. And Ai, I imagine, is something about like Caledonia. You know, couldn't muster an army if it tried to. You know, just a little bitty old spot, don't even have traffic lights in the town. Well, they didn't have electricity, so that's probably the reason why. But it was just a small little old town. They should have, by all rights, just been able to walk in there and walk all over these people. They ought to, you know, just because of the might and the strength of Israel, they should have been able to defeat this town pretty easy, right? You would think so. Oh, but God. When people try to do things outside of God's will, God changes them. And so what we see is, as we open up into chapter 7, the Battle of Jericho had already happened, and the great victory had already been taken up. And then in chapter 7 and verse 1, the children of Israel committed a trespass. Yeah, that's 7. Committed a trespass in the accursed thing from Achan. I should be in chapter 6, not chapter the fall of Jericho. All right. Am I in 7? Yeah. Okay. All right, because I don't know why that's just reading strange to me right now, but it is. But anyhow, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing for Achan, the son of Camrei, the son of Zidii, the son of Zerah, and the tribe of Judah took the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up, and they viewed Ai. And they turned to Joshua, and they said to him, let not all the people go up, but let 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people labor there, labor thither, for they are but a few. So they went up thither, about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. So Israel, here's the picture. There's Well, I like this because in chapter 7, I don't know why I missed this in my reading, but I must have picked up in verse 2 in my study this afternoon about it. But anyhow, looking at chapter verse 2 and following through, Joshua says, we just finished fighting in Jericho, amen, and now we're going to this city, and hey, I'm going to send up some spies, and you're going to look at it. And so they went up, and they viewed the country, and they came out and said that there's only a few folks in Ai. Josh, you ain't got to worry about this. It's just a small town, just a small thing. You don't send everybody up. Just pick you out a few thousand men to go and handle this light work. Isn't that what we do sometimes? As people, we say, God, I can handle this one. It's just a small job. I really don't need your help. I'm going to do it on my own. I've viewed out. I've scoped the thing out. You know, I think I can do this. I don't really need your information on buying this car. I don't need you to put in on my information about where I'm going to work or who I'm going to date. I can take care of that kind of stuff on my own. Don't we do that? Amen. We do that. How many times has that worked out good when you didn't seek the Lord first? I don't know for y'all, but every time I don't seek the Lord first in my life, things don't seem to work out as well as I thought they may have. Amen. And so the very same thing's happening here at Ai. They had just finished this great battle, and they're going up to Ai, and they're going to do this. And he said, just send a few men. Notice that Joshua didn't pray about it, doesn't talk about him praying about it, nothing like that. He just sends out spies, and he follows the advice of his generals. And then the men of Ai, they smote about 36 men. That doesn't sound like a big loss, does it? All right, you got 2,000 men, 2,000, 3,000 men going in, and Ai, this small little old town, they put Israel on the run. And they only kill like 36 men. In our way of thinking about war and stuff, you think 36 casualties, well, that's just the cost of war, right? But what was the promise of God to Joshua as they went into the promised land? If you obey my word, if you do what I tell you, I will fight for you, and you won't lose one person. Not one man has to fall by the sword here. When they fought in the Battle of Jericho, how many men did they lose? None. Now, huge battle, didn't lose one man. All right, now they come up against this small thing. They don't pray about it. There's sin in the camp, amen, because it tells you that in the very first part. There's sin in the camp. God knew about it. I don't think Joshua knew about it at that time, because we'll get into that here in just a minute. And so they go up, and they said that they can fight this. And this little bitty old town come out after 3,000 men, and they killed 36 of them, and they run off. So Israel's fleeing from a smaller army. All right, by the amount of men that they sent should have been more than enough to do it. But Israel's running from a much smaller foe. And then when Joshua sees it in verse 7, he says, alas, O Lord, wherefore hast thou brought all this people over the Jordan and delivered us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God that we had been content to dwell on the other side of Jordan. Man, I tell you, human nature does not change. Got a little bit of defeat right here, a little bit of sore time. Things are getting a little bit hard, and you just say, all right, God, why'd you even bring me here? I just want to quit. It's just so hard. Boo-hoo, whoa, poor, pitiful me. And Joshua, he's crying out. He says, God, if you just brought us over here to kill us, why didn't you leave us on the other side of the Jordan? And, oh, Lord, in verse 8, what shall I say to Israel turneth their backs on their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear of it, and shall endeavor us around and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? What will it do to your great name? So Joshua kind of changed to, whoa, poor, pitiful me. Then he starts saying, God, how's this going to affect you? Lord, our defeat, us running away from this little bitty army, how's that going to sound to the Canaanites and the Amorites and the Moabites and the Hivites and all the other Jezubites and all those bites that he's got to fight? He says, how's this going to look to all those people? And the Lord said, Canaanites and cut off. And the Lord said to him, Joshua, get up. Wherefore liest thou upon thy face? So it lets you know something has changed in Joshua's heart. First he goes up with, he can do it, he can handle it. The defeat comes out, and all of a sudden he's praying unto the Lord. I see myself in that so often, because I think that I can do something, and when it doesn't work out, what do? Immediately go to prayer. Well, actually, that's kind of getting the cart in front of the horse, isn't it? I should have went to prayer first, Maybe I wouldn't have lost the 39, 36 men. Everything could have worked out better. But instead of going to prayer first, I thought I could do it, and I did it on my own. And then it didn't work out, and then I fall on my face before the Lord. And I confess my sin where I've come short of what He wanted to. And then God tells us, here He says, "There's folks, I want you to know this, that there's a time to pray, and then there's a time to get up." Amen. After you realize that you have sinned and come short of the glory of God, it's time, after you pray, you confess that sin, then you get up and you move forward. A lot of us get caught up in that moment of confession, and you just stay there. You start, "Lord, forgive me for this." I have in my lifetime given my testimony the wrong way. I give glory to all the bad things that I did instead of all the good things that God did. Amen. I tend to dwell on, "Well, I was this, and I was that, and I was the other," instead of dwelling on the two words I like the most out of the whole Bible, "but God." You know, I get caught up in what I didn't accomplish instead of what He did accomplish. See, and Joshua is getting into the same thing. If we will get up out of that spot instead of saying, "Whoa, whoa, poor, poor, pitiful me. I couldn't make it because I was born in a poor household. I couldn't make it because I was on this side of the tracks instead of that side of the tracks. I wasn't able to do it because of the way my situation, my parents." Excuses, excuses, excuses. Anybody got that problem here besides me? Or am I talking to myself? Amen. All right. So if we just stay in those excuses, we'll never get the victory from the Lord. Confess it, then get up, and then move forward. All right? And so God says, "You need to get up, Joshua. Get up on your feet. Stop getting out." And verse 10, "And the Lord said to Joshua, 'Get thee up. Wherefore layest thou on thy face? Israel hath sinned, and have trespassed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled. I think I have an explanation for that word up here somewhere. Dissembled. And they have, pardon? Yep, they have lied. That's a good, they have done the accursed thing. They have stolen, they assembled. That means dealt falsely. And then they hid it. They also put it, have put it even in their own stuff." Wow. It tells us in the first verse here that God knew it, but the children of Israel had committed a trespass and took up the accursed thing. God already knew that it was Achan that had done it, the son of this guy, son of that guy, son of the other, in the first verse of chapter 7. All right? Now, Joshua didn't deal with that, or he didn't know what was happening. But when the Lord revealed it to him in such a way, he said, "Wow, now I see the problem." When God shows us our sin, like God showed Joshua the sin of Israel, we're going to find out that one man sinned in the whole camp. One man did this, and because one man did something that was ungodly and broke the law of God, then all of Israel was going to be punished for it. Have you ever been in that experience when you're in a group of people, one person does wrong, and everybody gets punished for it? Right? One person, you didn't fold your clothes right in basic training. You didn't fold your clothes right. And then everybody in the whole barracks got all their clothes thrown out on the floor. And everybody's got to redo them. Your beds get flipped upside down. People are hollering and screaming at you. Everybody's got to do it right. That would happen in my house when I was a kid. Somebody wouldn't have their clothes folded right. My stepdad would come in there and dump every stinking thing out on the floor. You wash the dishes, you miss one spot of food on the plate, every single dish in the house then gets pulled out on the floor, and you wash everything again. So the next time you wash dishes, make sure you get that one spot off. Amen. Amen. And so anyhow, that's what God is showing Joshua here. And the Lord said, get up, stop. Israel has sinned, and this is why you weren't able to combat. There was, Israel had sinned. Did you see that? He didn't say the Achan had sinned. He said, Israel hath sinned, and they have also committed, trespassed my commandment, and which I commanded them. For they have taken of the accursed thing, and this is still in verse 11, and they have also stolen and lied. And also they have put it in among their own stuff. And therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but they turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed from among you. Wow. Is God serious about dealing with sin? What's he saying right there? He's saying, listen, you could have, the reason that you turned tail and ran is because there was sin in the camp. And those folks, those 3,000 men that went out, they may have not even known that Achan had done this thing. But God put fear in those men of war because one man had trespassed. God's very serious. He's serious. And he says, if you don't get this right and you don't get this right today, I'm not going to go with you no more. If you don't, Joshua, if you don't square this up with me right now, if you don't get this out of the camp right now, you will not succeed on what I'm going to do. You will not be the leader that I need you to be. Wow, that ought to send fear into every single human being. All right? Have you sinned against the Lord? Have you not confessed your sin against the Lord? Not just confessing it, but dealing with it. We're to do what to our flesh? Pamper it, right? It says, pamper your flesh. Say that again. Die. Crucify your flesh. How often? Daily. Always. Continuously. Your flesh is sinful against the Lord, right? When you want the things of the world, that's where it tells us in 1 John, don't love the things of the world. Don't worry about those things. Don't worry. Jesus said, don't worry about riches. Don't worry about the food you're going to eat. Don't worry about the food you're going to eat. If you seek me first, I'll take care of all that stuff. John 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of the Lord, and the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things I'll take care of, right? But first we got to start seeking the right thing. We got to put ourselves in a place of blessing. We got to put ourselves in a walking in obedience. We've got to do something in our life. Trusting in Jesus Christ, absolutely, first step. But after you've trusted in Jesus Christ, he says we are supposed to kill this old man, this sinful. I've got to bring it to the cross daily. Confess my sin and repent, be converted so that the time of refreshing may begin. Amen? There has to be something done. It's not just simply, God, I'm a sinner. It's, God, I'm a sinner, cleanse me, show me how to die. Show me how to die that you might live. See, I don't want Curtis Fitz to live. Now, I enjoy breathing air, don't get me wrong, but I don't want the sin, the lust of my heart, to rule my heart. I don't want the sin, the lust of my life, to rule my life. I want to keep it in bonds the way it's supposed to be. Instead of it having me in bondage, I ought to have it in bondage. Now, I'm a sinner by trade. That's just what I do. So are you. You're a sinner by trade. But God says, if you'll trust me, if you'll walk with me, if you'll follow me, I will teach you how to control that you can have mastery of your own flesh. Did you know that you don't have to sin? Do you know that? Has anyone ever told you that you don't have to do those things that upset God? That you can be righteous. You can be holy. When was the last time anybody said you can be holy? Do you, except for up here. Have you heard that? You can be holy. It's a choice you can make. You don't have to go the way of Achan. You don't have to go the way of the world. You don't have to disobey God. You can obey him through the Holy Spirit. As you walk in obedience to the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth, right? Do you hear me? Say amen, please. Amen, because it looks like you're asleep. Wake up. Man, I'm starting to sweat bullets up here because I don't know if you're getting it or not. Do I got to kick this horse one more time? Or we got to understand, okay? You understand where we're coming from. And God says, I'm going to punish the whole of you because there's one of you that ain't doing right. I'm going to put all of you through the pressure cooker that I can boil this sin out. And not just as an individual, but as a body of believers. The whole camp of Israel. Their hearts melted with fear when they came into battle. Before that had never happened before. When they were walking right with the Lord. When you are walking upright with God, you have no fear. You know that? That's how the persecuted church, how those men and women can openly walk into a cage, right? That they know is going to be dunked into a pool and they're going to drown. And they sang praises all the way down. How do they do that? Because they're walking right with Jesus Christ. Now that they're perfect people, because there are no perfect people, but they are a people group that have sworn allegiance to the one true God. And they have cleansed their life in such a way that no matter what the world throws at them, they're able to stand and to win. They don't give in to the lust of the flesh. They stand for righteousness as the Holy Spirit allows them to stand for righteousness. So how can one man sin? How can a just God take one man's sin and mess up the whole camp, right? Well, think of it. Didn't he do that with Adam? Adam sinned, and because he sinned, the curse came on not just all of mankind, but the whole of the world. Everything that God made that was good, when Adam chose to sin against God, to go his own way instead of God's way, instead of Yahweh, instead of doing what the Lord showed him to, the simplest rule ever, don't eat that tree. Don't eat that fruit. I'm sorry, he didn't eat a tree, he ate a fruit. Don't eat that fruit. We have the idea it was an apple. I don't know what it was. It was fruit. I don't know what the fruit. It could have been a coconut. I don't know what it was. It was something. It could have been a grape. Have no idea what the fruit was. But God said, don't eat that. Eve ate it, and she brought it to her husband, who was with her, and said, wow, you ate it. I'll eat it too. I love you enough. I'll go through this with you. I ain't that scared. When he did that, something happened. All of creation changed because he willfully disobeyed. Achan knew the law. He knew what he was supposed to not touch. Because Joshua told him, when y'all go in there, you don't touch one thing. You don't take one piece of garment. You don't take one sandal strap. You don't take nothing. You go in there and you kill every man, every woman, every child except for Rahab and her family. You kill everything. The oxen and stuff like that you bring into the treasury of the Lord. You kill everything else. Now, we're going to find out that Achan will be Achan soon. Amen. There's some stuff that's going to happen to him real quick. And I love the way that the Lord kind of whittles it down for Joshua. Verse 12, therefore the children of Israel, they could not stand against their enemies, but they turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you except you destroy the accursed thing from among you. And he says, up, get up, sanctify the people, and say to the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee. O Israel, thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. Why is the church so weak today? Why do you think that? Because of sin. And we're not looking at it as sin. You know, the church, see, we've got this idea that Jesus is our buddy. Don't get me wrong. You can be the friend of Jesus if you do whatsoever he commands you. Right? And if you do not do whatsoever he commands you, you can't be his friend. All right? That sounds harsh, don't it? Well, God ain't joking when he said it. He wasn't joking when he said it then. He ain't joking now. He wasn't joking when he said it to Israel. If you do this thing, I will not go with you. I won't help you. I will not defeat your enemies for you. If you don't walk in obedience to God, you will not have victory in Jesus Christ. Those are hard things, isn't it? Because it's not this wealth and prosperity. How do you call it? Unicorns and rainbow gospel. Right? There's so many pastors are giving that unicorn and rainbow kind of gospel where they just, oh, it's all good. Don't worry about it. You know, God knows you're human. You don't need to repent. You don't need to turn away from your sin. God will love you. You just do what you want to. I hear it on the radio, 99.7. I hear it on, what's that, Kiss, K-Love, or whatever you call it. I hear it on 88.9, all those radio stations. There's false doctrine pouring out across the radio stations. And those are supposed to be Christian radio stations. Very few pastors are standing up and saying, no, church, you need to repent. You need to come out of your sin. God will not bless you if you walk and live in sin. He tells you to cleanse your hands, you sinners, that the time of refreshing might come. We need to be honest before God and honest with ourselves who we are in Christ. I am more than a conqueror with Christ in me. Amen? Absolutely. Absolutely, and I believe that fully, but I need to walk in the righteousness of God if I want to be blessed by God. If I want God's protection, then I need to walk in his righteousness. I need to get the accursed thing out of my camp, and you need to get the accursed thing out of your camp if you want to be blessed for him. It tells him in verse 14 of chapter 7, in the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes. That's what Joshua was telling the folks. He said, hey, I want you to gather all the tribes up here. And so in the morning, y'all, you sanctify yourselves tonight. So tonight you pray. Tomorrow you bring everybody comes. Everybody comes before me. And so he goes, and all the families the next morning, they come up. And the Lord shall take, this is verse 14, about halfway through. And the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. All right, in verse 15. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord and hath wrought folly in Israel. And verse 16, so Joshua got up early in the morning, washed his face, right? Got the regular morning stuff going on. And he brought all of the tribes of Israel before him and the tribe of Judah. I like that. He brought brought Israel by their tribes and the tribe of Judah. You see that? It's all Israel, and we're going to focus on Judah, all right? And then he brought the families of Judah. Now, there's another 11 families or tribes that are represented here, but God said, hey, Josh, you need to focus on Judah, all right? And Joshua, you need to, this is where the problem is. You need to focus over there. And so he puts his focus over there, and he took the family of the Zerahites and brought out the family of the Zerahites man by man. So in the tribe of Judah, there's many families in that tribe. And he says, not this guy, but that guy. All right, now you take him and all of his family. If there's a bloodline on that name over there, you take all the Fitzes, because there it's much easier to pronounce than that. Take all the Fitzes and bring them over here. And so he got all the Fitzes and he brought them out over here. And then of that family of Zerahites, man by man, and then Zediah was taken, which is one of those people out of the last name of the Zerahites. And he brought his household man by man. And then Achan was found. He was the son of Carmi, the son of Zabi, and the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah was taken. And then Judah said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. I like that because God said, I don't know, there's thousands of men that were standing before Joshua that day. God says, this tribe's okay, that tribe's okay, Judah, pull Judah over to this side, oh, everybody else go home, Judah, come here with me. And he says, this family's okay, oh, there's the family right there, you guys come over, you go over there. And he goes, man by man, he looks them dead in the face. Imagine what Achan was doing. He must have been shaking. Achan was shaking. He was saying, man, out of all those men, when he first got up in the morning, he's saying, out of all the thousands of men, how's he going to pick me? He don't know. Nobody knows nothing about this. Nobody knows what I did. My family, and they're sworn to secrecy. My kids, they won't come against me. Nobody's going to stand against me. I get to keep what I stole, and I'll be okay. Oh, but God knows how to get to the core of something, doesn't he? He says, take this, folks, they're clean. Those folks are clean. This folks is clean. This tribe is dirty. Bring them over. All right, now that family's clean. This family's clean. Oh, there's the dirty family. Bring them in. That man is clean. This man, oh, there's the dirty man. Bring him in. And so by now, Achan is sweating bullets, okay, because he knows he's caught. And he knows nobody blew him in. There was nobody who betrayed him and his family. The Holy Spirit of God said, Joshua, there's your man right there. You need to deal with him. And if you deal with him, I will go with you from now on. So do you think you have a secret sin? Who here has secret sins in your life? Go ahead, might as well raise your hand because I know you do. Amen? All of us do. You know, just because I don't know it, that don't mean God don't know it. Amen? And God knows, he knows everything about you. He knows your dark little closets that you don't want nobody to go into. He knows those little secret things, those little bitty lies that you hold on to, those little bitty things. And God says, I want to bless you, but you got to open up that secret spot in your heart. You got to open up, you got to confess it to me. You not just confess it, Lord, I have this thing. See, Achan, he could have confessed it and not brought it out. He could have confessed it and never got rid of it. All right, God says, no, I don't want you to just confess it. I want you to get rid of it. Get rid of the accursed thing in your life. And so he, verse 16, rose up early, brought all those people out. Verse 19, and so Joshua said to Achan, my son, I pray thee, glory to God. Make confession. Tell me and don't hide it. And Achan answered. He knew he was busted. Achan answered and answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils of the Babylonianish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold and of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and I took them. And behold, they're hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. And so Joshua said, we know how to deal with it. Hey, let's get some men. Let's go find that stuff, right? When confession is made, that you're going to find that it took more than confession. Because Achan said, I'll confess it to you. Then Joshua says, go and get it. So he goes and gets it. Jesus, that's what Joshua means. Jesus, God is salvation. Yahweh is salvation. Jesus, Joshua. And Joshua says, hey, I want you to go over there now and get it. Hey, you holy people, you go over, the folks who are right with me, the warriors, go over there and drag that stuff out. And it was just as Achan said, exactly the same way. Still hadn't been dealt with just because it was confessed. I think the church has done a great dishonor to the Lord by confessing without repentance. You understand what I'm saying? Confessing without... We say, yes, Lord, I am guilty of this, but I will never give it up. I'm not going to dig down. I'm not going to pull this garbage out. I'll just confess it. Lord, I coveted these glasses. All right. I need them to read with. I'm just picking up the first thing that came to my hand here. I'm coveting these glasses. This is sin. I know it's sin. Not that glasses are sin, but I'm going to hold this as an example. This is sin. All right, God, you're telling me to get rid of my sin, right? Put it over there, walk away from it, and to deal with it. Kill that sin. Don't let it live in my life no more. But instead of killing it, I'm just going to confess that I have it, and I'm going to hide them right here. All right, nobody knows I got those. Woo-hoo, they're mine. I love my little sin. I'm going to keep it packed up next to my heart. I'm going to keep it right there, but I'm never going to deal with it. Do you wonder why you're not really being blessed the way that you ought to be blessed by the Word of God? What's that thing? What are those things? Amen? Because with me, it's more than one thing. All right? What's that thing? What's that thing that's keeping you from being blessed by God? See, it's more than just saying, God, I'm a human. I make sin. I make mistakes. It's more than that. You got to dig it up out of the ground. Right? You got to shake the dust off of it. And maybe it's a hardness of a heart, something that happened to you when you're 7 years old. I don't know. Hey, I know before I could really start walking with God, I had to seek forgiveness for those who have wronged me because I held a grudge for a long time. All right, I could tell you all stuff about my background and stuff like that. Most of y'all already heard it. That stuff don't matter. What does matter is that I hated people because of the way I was treated. And God would not use me until I got over that. Amen? All right? There are some things in my past that I was just angry about. And God said, Curtis, I want to use you. I want to put a call on your life, but I cannot do it as long as you harbor this stuff. I know about it. Curtis, I was there when these things happened. I know what happened. That don't give you the right to hate those people. Get over it. Get up. Move forward. Dig it out. Confess it before the Lord and then move on out of it. Kill it. And so they went and they found all that stuff that was brought out. And, I'm in the next chapter. That's why I was looking so funny. And Joshua sent the messengers. They ran, they got it. And Joshua, verse 24, and Joshua, all of Israel, took Achan, the son of Zerah, and his silver and his garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons and his daughters, and his oxen and his asses, and his sheep and his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them to the Valley of Achor. The Valley of Achor. Excuse me. Achor means trouble. So they brought him to the Valley of Trouble. Brought him to the spot where sin was going to be dealt with. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they stoned them with the stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones until this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place is called to this day the Valley of Trouble, or Achor, until this very day. See, there comes a time that, and something I saw in this is when you really confess and you get victory over your sin, you kill it, you burn it with fire, you get rid of it, you need to put yourself a marker up there. Amen. That marker, that pile of stones, the reason it was there to that day is that you turn around and you say, well, kids, see what sin did? Achan and his family and all that he has underneath that pile of stones right over there because he sinned against God. Remember that spot. Set a mark in it. When you get victory over sin, I remember the last drink of alcohol I took. I remember it to the day. All right? And I put a marker there. That's where it stopped. And anytime I get tempted, I look back there. I said, that's where I used to be. Praise God, I'm not there anymore. The last time I smoked a doobie, there's a stake stuck in the ground right there. Last time I ever did that. Amen. And it's the last time because the sin was there. You dealt with it. Last time I looked at stuff I wasn't supposed to look at before the internet came up. There are just magazines and stuff. And there's a stick there. All right? There's a marker right there. I don't do that no more. Praise God. It's there. It's the pile of stones that Achan's buried under. You ought to have those places in your life, those stakes, those marks, those things. I did that once. I don't do that no more. Praise God. That sin is dead, buried with a pile of stones. There's a person I used to hate. I love them now. Put a stake there. All right. I'm free of that. Praise God. And then you can move forward with the Lord. And then there'll be a great victory in chapter 8. There's a great victory. It's the destruction of Ai. And the Lord gives them this great strength to fight him, and he tells Joshua in verses 1 and 2, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither thou be dismayed. Man, when you get that forgiveness right, you know what happens? Courage. Amen. Fear not. You dealt with it, and you dealt with it properly. Fear not. You ain't got nothing to worry about from me anymore, not on this subject. You can have full confidence that I'm with you now. Amen. Ain't that good news? When you repent and really, really repent, and you turn away from that ungodliness, God says, forgiven. Now get up and go forward in confidence. Be strong. Be courage. Don't be dismayed. Man, I didn't want to leave us with Achan. I wanted to leave us in victory tonight. Amen? Because there's victory. There's victory in Jesus Christ. There's victory in a repentant heart. There's victory when you finally die to the old man, that old thing, that wedge of gold that you think is so precious, and God says it's only asphalt. That nastiness that's in your heart, and God says, if you'll give this to me, I'll take it from you, and I'll bury it, and I'll put you a stake there. Remember who you were, but don't go back there. Don't hold on to what you used to be. Hold on to the glory that's laying before you. Ai is going to fall. Amen. Those folks who troubled you in the past, now that you got sin out your life, now that you're walking right with Jesus Christ, there is victory through that. And then he gave them regular marching orders. I like the second way he fought much better than I like the way Jericho did. Jericho would have scared me to death because that's so unhuman. It's so much like God. I'm sure that the folks who are walking around Jericho, they're saying, this sure ain't going to work, man. This ain't going to work until they saw God do the work, you know, and when he did. But this second fight, they're going to go to Ai. They're going to take, 30,000 men, something like that. verses 8. Fear not, neither be dismayed, it tells us in verses 1 and 2. And then verses 3 through 28, when sin is dealt with, then a plan comes to light. Amen? When you finally deal with the sin in your life, then you get to see the plan of God. When you finally deal with the stuff that's going on, then you get to see the plan of God. He says, just take 30,000 men and 5,000 into ambush. So Joshua, this is the new battle plan. You're gonna come out against Ai again. You're gonna put some in the hider spot over here, and then you're gonna come out with the army, and you're gonna draw out the armies of Ai, and they're gonna give chase to you, and you're gonna run like you're afraid. Oh, we're so scared. And you're gonna draw out all that battle men in battle array, and then when you do, you're gonna lift up your spear, and when you lift up your spear, those 5,000 men are gonna rush in, or might have the numbers backwards there. It might have been the 25,000 men that rushed in and 5,000 men that rushed, I don't know, one or the other. But the 5,000 men will go into the city and they'll burn it to the ground. And when the men of Ai see that their town's on fire, they're going to turn and they're going to go to the town. And when they turn and go to the town, then you attack. And you'll have them between two rocks and a rock and a hard spot. And you can deal with that when it comes. And so that's exactly what Joshua did. And there was a great victory that day. And then in verses 29 through 30, after the victory, then Joshua built an altar. And then he went all over the law again. Now think about this. You just fought all day long. You know, you're kind of tired, right? You've just been in a battle all day long. You're not ready for doing anything. He talks about the way that they raised the city, put a big old heap of stones over top of it. Verse 30 of chapter 8, and then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in the Mount of Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel. As it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones, over which no man hath lifted up any iron. And they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord, and they sacrificed peace offerings. And he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. Now, he wrote it on stones. He didn't use ink. That means Joshua the stone cutter took his hammer and chisel out, and he chiseled out the Ten Commandments. Well, the whole law. Five books of the Torah he wrote out on these stones. Actually it says that no hammer, no iron instrument was used against it. I don't know how he did it, but God said that he wrote the law on it. And in verse 33, and all Israel and their elders and the officers and their judges stood on the side of the ark, on the side of the priests, of the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well as the stranger. And he that bore among them half of them over against, and half of them over against the Mount of Gizim, and half of them on the Mount of Ebal, as Moses the servant had commanded before, that they should bless the people of Israel. And after he read all the words of the law, he blessed the blessings and the cursings according to all that was written in the book of the law, and not a word of all that Moses had commanded, which Joshua read, not before all the congregation, with the women and the little ones, and the strangers were conversant among them. In other words, they didn't talk to each other. Now, it takes a long time. We've studied the Talmud. Okay, he went over the five books of the Bible. It took us years. Amen. It took years. Now, he divided the people up, one on one mountain, one on the other, and he stood in the midst of it by the altar that they had just made all those sacrifices on. He said, listen up. We're about ready to go to church here. Think it took just more than a minute or two? Think it took more than 45 minutes? Do you wonder if any of them were tapping their toe and saying, I'm looking for a manna sandwich? You know? I need something manna quit. I need some food here. I'm grumbling. I'm whining. I'm complaining. Not just all the men, but all the women and all the children stood for the full reading of the law. The blessings and the cursings, it says. I lay before you today blessings and cursings. I'm praying that you'll choose the blessings. So Joshua goes back and he reminds them of the law. Why do you think he reminded them of the law after Ai? That they would not sin again against the Lord. That's what it was. They needed a reminder. Needed a refresher course. Why do I always preach the same sermon? Because we all need reminders. Amen. It may be worded a little bit different, but it's always about Jesus Christ. It's always about the blood. It's always about the cross. It's always about the resurrection. It's always about the kingdom of God. And my message is not going to change. That is the good news. and I will preach that as long as I got breath. And folks may not want to hear it. That's okay. The folks who do want to hear it will be blessed by it. Amen? I'm glad that you're here to be blessed. Something that I want us to take from these two chapters here is, one, if we will deal with sin, God will deal fairly with us. If we tried to hide our sin away from God, you're not fooling Him. He knows what you're up to. He knows where your heart is. Amen? And He wants you to be holy and set apart for His righteousness. So we got to, as human beings, make a choice. He said, today I'm laying before you blessings and cursing. I'm praying that you're going to choose the blessings. If you choose Jesus Christ, if you choose the Word of God, if you choose the way of God, I will bless you. If you choose the way of the world, if you choose your own righteousness, you choose your own flesh, I will curse you. Amen? I want God to be on our side. I want to be on God's side. That's really where it is. I don't want Him to come and be on my side. I want me to go and be on His side. I want to be part of the winning team at the end of the book. Amen. When the new kingdom comes, I want to hear, come on in, my good and faithful servant. I gave you a little bit to do and you were faithful in it. The little bit that God wants us to do today and every day is to know Him. Do you know Him? I mean, really, do you know Him? He wants us to not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Will you walk with Him in righteousness? Today, if you'll confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive you. That's good news, man. But we gotta be serious about our sin, amen. And I mean as serious as God is. If God is so serious that He would not go with Israel because of one man's sin, and you wonder why you might be getting blessed by the world, but you ain't being blessed by God, check your sin log, amen. Open up some doors, dust off some counters. There may be some old expired food in your kitchen cabinet that needs to be thrown out. You know, you've been feasting on dry bread, and God's saying, come on, let's get rid of that stuff. Let me give you something that will really heal you. Let me give you something that's really good. Let me refresh your oil pot. Let me do something good for you. But before He does that, you got to get rid of the old stuff. And you can do it. Do you believe that you can do it? No. Well, hey, you got the Holy Spirit. If you're born again, you got the Holy Spirit. And He says, hey, George, clean this out. And George has a choice, yes or no. Amen? And if you say yes and you do it, God will bless you for that. He'll walk with you. He'll cleanse you. He'll keep you upright. Or you have the choice to say, no, I want the old nasty stuff. And God will say, all right, you want the old nasty stuff? Die with it, you know? I'm not going to talk to you. I'm not going to bless you. I'm not going to bring you to the next victory until you deal with this thing. So deal with it. Amen? I love you, folks. This is why I quit teaching the Old Testament, because it's like this all the way through the rest of it. You know, but anyhow, we need to hear it. Thank you, Father God, for your goodness and grace. Thank you, Lord God, for the way that you love us. Thank you, Lord, that you have gave us an example of how we ought to deal with sin. Father, that we ought to crucify our flesh to live in righteousness. Lord, I pray that you would move mighty in this congregation and that you would move mighty in this vessel, me. Father, keep me straight, Father. Continually give me a fresh new anointing of your Holy Spirit every morning. Keep me in the narrow way, Father. And I just praise you for that. I pray that for these people that are here and the folks that will hear over the internet. Father, help them to seek out your righteousness, your love, your compassion. Help them to check their sin closet, Lord, that they would be willing to cleanse out anything that the Holy Spirit is convicting them of. And Lord, I just love you, and we praise you for those things. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.